Thank you. Wow. You showed up. I pray, right? I pray, I close my eyes, and I'm like, Lord, let them all go away. No. So, shalom.
Shalom.
They're Jewish. Pastor Joe says, we need a messianic congregation. I said, right here. So, praise the Lord. Again, I am Scott Schwartz. My wife, Corey, there. Raise her hand there. But behind every okay man is a great woman.
Amen.
I get to sleep in the bed tonight, not on the sofa. So, again, Scott Schwartz, and I serve with Life of Messiah. Life of Messiah is privileged to be the oldest ministry in North America to the Jewish people. We were founded in 1886. Raise your hand if you've seen Fiddler on the Roof. All right, so at the end of Fiddler on the Roof, they're in Eastern Europe. That's where my family's from, Minsk. And they're getting kicked out. They have to flee because of persecution. And they're going around in circles. And they're singing the dirge. And one cousin goes, where are you going? I'm going to New York. Where are you going? I'm going to Chicago. Great, we'll be neighbors. Little did they know. But William E. Blackstone saw hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people coming, not knowing how to speak the language, not knowing how to incorporate their work skills into American life. But he realized the greatest need was them to find Jesus as the Messiah.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to get a lot of amens. I love it. So he started the Chicago Hebrew Mission. We've been around for over 125 years. And we have staff members all over the world, Israel, France, the Netherlands. We have a guest house in Argentina where Israelis come after they serve in the military and they hike. And we have an amazing evangelist named Dylan who shares the gospel. They have Shabbat dinners, and we just love on the Jewish people and share the gospel with them. And that enclave, so that bio is for people when I'm in Montana. I was in Montana last weekend sharing a Passover Seder. Well, that enclave, who can tell me where that enclave is?
Lakewood.
Lakewood, right? Some say it's the hub of Orthodox Judaism right here. You guys are poised for a great move of God.
Amen.
I believe God is going to use you to share the gospel of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, with these Orthodox Jewish people. And can you imagine? So when you got saved and God took away the blinders, how much joy did you feel? How much they, when they read the Old Testament, the Torah, and they realize, oh my gosh, oh my chicken nuggets, as my kids would say, this is Jesus prophesied in our law, in our Psalms. We're going to see joy and dancing. Talk about charismatic service. It's going to be amazing. So on the table in the back are some free resources. That's how you can tell that I'm Jewish, because it's free. That I'm born again and Jewish. I can say that. So I'm so Jewish, when you slice me open, bagels fall out. We have an evangelistic website called In Search of Shalom. My wife had the amazing insight as we're walking the streets of Brooklyn. She's realizing everyone has their phone. So she's like, wow, what if we stenciled In Search of Shalom with chalk, spray chalk, on the streets of Brooklyn? So I lead our missions team. We have groups come from all over the country, international, and serve in Brooklyn and in South Florida. And we have these stencils, and we spray In Search of Shalom. And people are taking pictures. We have Google Analytics. And when we do an outreach, it goes from maybe 25 hits to over 100 in one day, just from this. So that's our website. And we have some Bibles. So they're on the back. If you know a Jewish person and you feel that they would want to read the New Testament with the prophecies in them, so the beginning of this is the prophecies and then the fulfillment in the New Testament that's free. We have some magnets. So we would love for you to pray for us because there's lots of warfare. What God especially loves, Satan especially hates. And God loves his chosen people. But more importantly, pray for the Jewish people. As you see this, there's some magnets. And then there's some literature. Clean the table out. Because the seed is the word of God, and if you don't plant that seed, it has no chance to grow.
Amen.
But if you plant that seed, watch what God can do.
Amen.
All right? And later on, I'll tell you a story about a seed that God planted through our team and the results of that. Who can agree with me that anti-Semitism is an all-time high?
Yes.
We are going to get to a Seder, by the way. But we have these, we stand with the Jewish people.
Amen.
And it's such a bridge builder when Jewish people realize that church, followers of Jesus, love them.
Amen.
It brings the wall down. So there's these cards, and you can go, and QR code takes you to our website, We Stand With Israel. And then there's the gospel here, all from the Old Testament. There's no New Testament scripture. It points right to Jesus. It's all in searchofshalom.com, so take the literature. If you want to get our newsletter about what God is doing, and you can brag and say, it's right in my backyard what God's doing in Lakewood, you can fill out. There's some cards to get our prayer letter, and you can fill this out, and there's a QR code if you want to partner with us. That's all on the back table. So who's ready to celebrate the Passover?
Amen.
All right. Amen. So as you came in, you noticed a funny book, right? That funny book is called a Haggadah. Say Haggadah.
Haggadah.
Wow. You guys are Jewish. So I want you to open. You're going to notice something a little different about this book, right? It's backwards. No, you Gentiles are backwards. Jewish people write from right to left. So Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, from right to left. Hence, the prayer book, the Haggadah, is from right to left. So turn with me to the back of the book, okay? To the inside cover. There's a few things that I don't want us to be distracted by. So I'll go over a few things. This book is a little bit different, all right? So why is this book printed backwards? We already discussed that. You're going to notice some words in English, right? Transliteration. That's going to give you an idea of the Hebrew language, right? So it's going to be Hebrew and then transliterated in English the way it would be sounded out. These symbols, as we go through this Haggadah, they are the hourglass. We're going to see God at work in history and in the calendar. We're going to see Messiah Yeshua when we have this, the silhouette of the Lamb. You're going to see Jewish tradition there with the menorah and the messianic connection, where the Old Testament has been fulfilled in the New Testament by none other than Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Amen. And there's a dash. Listen, our Jewish neighbors and our Jewish friends are so close, but so far away. They do not put vowel, the O, in God and Lord when they're writing out the name of God. Because if we were to crumple up or erase it on the blackboard when we used to write on a blackboard, that dating myself, we're erasing the name of God. But if we leave the vowel out and we do a dash, then we're not erasing the name of God. And we're following that tradition to honor our Jewish friends. Can you keep this book? Yes. Another proof that I am born again and Jewish, only $5. So there's a basket. It just it covers the cost of the book. Some people really love it. Make it part of your library, right? Read through it. Pray through it. Pray for the Jewish people. Amen?
Amen.
So let's get started. Turn with me to the front of the book, which is actually backwards. And we're going to begin our Seder together. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we just welcome you. We thank you that you're here. We sense your presence. You're so good to us, Lord. On this Holy Week, as we remember that you earnestly desired to eat the Passover with your disciples before you suffered. And Lord, we desire to meet with you tonight. Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're saying? And would you pour out your Holy Spirit on the house of Israel? We ask this all in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to do a lot of reading here, so just follow along with me. Page 3, it says, Passover is a joyful time of celebrating the faithfulness of the God of Israel in redeeming his people from bondage. When the Hebrew people, descendants of Abraham the Hebrew, were slaves in Egypt, God instructed them, this Pesach, this Passover day, is to be a memorial for you, and you must celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. You are to celebrate it throughout your generations as a permanent statute. For thousands of years, we are actually in the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover was sundown Saturday night to sundown Sunday night. A second day is added for those living outside the land of Israel. So to Sunday night, end of Sunday night, Monday night, outside the land. And now we're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Jewish people worldwide are still celebrating. They are honoring God's word, where it says to do this forever. So Jewish and Gentile believers in Yeshua, Jesus' Hebrew name, have been united in faith. Once foreigners to the covenants of promise, truly are family in Messiah. So understanding that Yeshua has fully met the demands of the Torah, and aren't you glad that Yeshua has fully met the demands of the Torah? Come on, this church is amazing. We're going to follow Jesus right into glory because he met the law. He fulfilled the law. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we would become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So understanding that Yeshua has fully met the demands of the Torah, it's our joyful privilege to do three things tonight: to celebrate Passover together, to remember the historical significance of God's redemption of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Two, to see the completed picture of the blood of the Lamb of God applied for our redemption from bondage to sin, and see the connection of the communion table and the Lord's table. So tonight we're going to see that communion that the church has been celebrating actually is fully Jewish. The Christmas story is fully Jewish, prophesied by Hebrew prophets to the nation of Israel. And Gentiles have been grafted in and have been partakers of God's love story. So preparation, all right? So I'd like you guys to just give a hand. There's so many servants here. People have been preparing all day. We had people making charoset. We're going to have a tasting afterwards. Bill said to me, "How does it taste?" I said, "It tastes like Passover." He said, "Yes." So there's lots of preparations, right? Jewish people are really busy cleaning their houses of all the chametz, all the leaven. This is where many people say we get the word or the term or the theme spring cleaning. Jewish people are removing all the leavens from their houses. We lived in Brooklyn until Brooklyn kicked us out. We came to New Jersey. But there was a line of minivans, and I'm like, what, is there a special free vacuuming today? Oh, it's Passover week, Scott. They're cleaning their car out of all the fishies and all the crumbs from the pretzels, because during the middle of the week, it's called Chol Moed, the days of in between, where they can do things, where they can go to the market and shop and enjoy family. So they were cleaning the extension of their house, which is their van. Excuse me. So they are to select a year-old male lamb of the 10th of the month of Aviv, renamed Nisan during the Babylonian exile. The lamb was to be watched until slaughtered on the 14th day of the month to be sure that it was without defect. Leaven, rising agents such as yeast or baking soda, must be removed from the household. And growing up outside of Philadelphia, I hated it because mom took all the tasty cakes. Who remembers tasty cakes if you're from Philly? Tasty cakes, right? And cookies and pretzels. I'm like, "Mom, what are you doing? It's Passover." "Okay. 7 days. Can you do it?" I said, "I'm not sure." "You have to. Moses commanded us." "All right, mom." And then unleavened bread and bitter herbs were to be included in the Passover meal instructions, preparations, excuse me. So let's go back in time to the days of Second Temple Judaism, or even before that, right? The days of Egypt, and the Israelites are in bondage, they're slaves. Moses commanded them to take a lamb, okay? The picture here, they take a lamb. The rabbi inspects it. He says, "Go check this one out." They bring the lamb home. For 4 days, this lamb has to be watched, to be inspected, to see that it was what? Key. Without defect. All right? Now, you have little Avraham and little Miriam. They're so excited because little Lammy's coming into the house. Right? Day one. Day two. Can we feed little Lammy? Sure. Carrots, celery. They come home from school. Can we walk Lammy? Sure. Okay, they walk Lammy. More carrots, more celery. They're having dinner together. The father says, "You guys are getting really attached. Would you like the name the lamb?" "Sure." So they whisper. Dad's like, "Okay, what is it?" "Lamb chop?" "Sure, lamb chop." So little lamb chop has a name. Day one, day two, day three, day four. What's happening to the children and the lamb? That's right. We just got a couple cats. I'm no longer attached because we need a new sofa. But they are so attached to this lamb, and the father then inspects it, realizes it's perfect, realizes that he needs to kill the lamb and take the blood and pour it out and take the lintel and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the angel of death would come through the land that night, he would see the blood and what? Pass over. And he tells the children, something has to die in our place. There has to be a substitutionary sacrifice for us to be free. What a picture of Jesus to come. And the kids realize, wow, freedom is very costly. So then they go and clean out their houses of all the leaven. Turn with me to page 4. So by candlelight, the father will go through the house and inspect the entire home of all the chametz. And before he leaves for his work for the day, he whispers to his wife and says, I need you to leave a little bit of chametz, a little bit of leaven, so we can find it as a family and do this as one group. So he goes to work. He comes home. His wife whispers, it's up on the windowsill in the baby's room. Thanks, honey. Kids, let's look. So remember the game, hot, cold? What? Okay, that's hot over there. Cold, cold, warmer, warmer, hot, hot. They run upstairs, really, really warm. Daddy, Abba, I found it. There's the little bit of chametz. They take a feather and a spoon by candlelight, and they sweep that little piece of leaven into the wooden spoon. They take a linen napkin, wrap it up, bind it, take it down to the rabbi's house. Behind the rabbi's house is a raging fire. They take the last bit of chametz, throw it in the fire. It's burned up. The rabbi pronounces a blessing and says, your home is now ceremonially clean. You may go home and celebrate the Passover. When we lived in Brooklyn, we knew when it was Passover Eve because there's nothing like the burning smell, the smell of burning bread. And we could smell the bread being burned, and they would take these steel trash cans and put holes in it and light fires. And all the families would meet in the middle of the block, and they'd throw out their last bit of chametz. But you guys are a very vocal bunch, so anyone want to take an idea of why we use a feather and a wooden spoon? Is there any deep spiritual significance of why we use this feather and this spoon? Anyone want to take a guess? You don't think so? Okay, does anyone think she might be right? Any significance? She said there is none. She's spoiler alert. Yes, but how would it be a parallel spiritually in our lives? Some people say, is it the dove of the Holy Spirit? No, Jewish people aren't believing in the Holy Spirit. Would you like me to tell you?
Yes.
Okay. One reason, and one reason only, and it's incredibly important to the Jewish life. Tradition. That's it. That's it. Just tradition, folks. Trust me, it gets better. So remember the rabbi said you can now go home and celebrate the Passover. I want you to envision in your mind your kitchen. And there's the beautiful tablecloth, and it's decorated with the finest of china that you have. And the candles are there, and the wine glasses are there, and the place setting is there, and all of the elements on the Seder plate are there. And you're ready to celebrate this ancient biblical feast as a family, honoring the commandments of Moses. And the woman of the house then gets asked by the husband to light the candle. So I'm going to ask my bride to come up. Do we have the microphone for you? Is that able to be unmuted? So this is my wife, Corey.
Hi, Corey.
I've made it because of her. You can say amen.
Amen.
Is this on? Yeah. This mic? Okay. So she's going to light the candles, say a traditional Pesach blessing, bring the light of God to her eyes, cover her eyes, and then say the blessing.
Okay, we're going to invite the light of the Lord into this space. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishana b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehalik ner, shel Pesach, b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. And blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who's commanded us to light the Passover lights in Yeshua's name.
Amen. 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 So that was our brucha. You guys can mute this for now. Doesn't that just change the entire atmosphere up here of this beautiful, beautiful setting here? So let's continue on with this Seder. So there are four cups. So the Passover Seder, Seder means order, and the Haggadah means to retell. And it was a commandment in Exodus 13:8. You shall tell, when your sons ask you, you shall tell them the reason why we are doing what we're doing. And it's a time to remember, to look back. But God gave the Israelites four promises. And there are four cups of fruit of the vine, wine or grape juice. And they coincide with the four promises in Exodus chapter 6. If you have your Bible, open it, raise it up. You got your Bible. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 6. So we're going to partake in communion, not now, in a little bit, but this is the first of the four cups. So in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, it says this, "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. First, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Two, I will deliver you from their bondage. Three, my favorite, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And fourth rivals, number three. I will take you to myself as my people, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Amen?
Amen.
So four I wills. So the I will is a promise. So my son's 15. He's fully ninth grade. Fully 15, loves the Philadelphia Eagles, loves Jalen Hurts. If there's any Eagles fans, shout out. Not many, okay. They did win the Super Bowl. So I say to my son, hey Micah, if you help dad clean up the kitchen and put the dishes in the dishwasher, I will take you to Hoffman's. Okay. All of a sudden, the dishwasher is filled quickly, like a miracle happened. But there's that anticipation of a promise that's been given to him. I will. The Jewish people are under harsh conditions in Egypt, and God is giving them these promises. I will deliver you from the burdens of the Egyptians. So I ask us, New Beginnings Church, are the Jewish people under the burdens of the Egyptians today?
Yes.
No, they are not. Are they free? They are set free. So let's ask again. Are the Jewish people free under the burdens of the Egyptians?
Yes.
Did God make them a promise?
Yes.
Did he come through?
Yes.
Give the Lord a hand.
Amen.
Amen. So traditionally, this is the first I will. You'll see in page 6. What we're going to do is unable to drink this together until the third cup where we will take communion. But here I'm going to read. I'm going to sing the Hebrew, and then we're together as a family going to translate that Hebrew prayer in English so we can read it together, right? So it's going to say the Seder ordered service is built around the four cups of the fruit of the vine. Each corresponds to an action God promised in Exodus 6. So here is the Jewish prayer. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Let's read in the English together. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Amen. So we are finished with cup one. Next, we come to the symbols of the Pesach. This is breathtaking, by the way, this video board. It's amazing. So I'm going to point out some things here. On a Seder plate, if we were having a traditional Seder, which I've tried to pitch, we'll see if it happens. You can beg for it. And we'll have a full meal together. We'll drink every cup. We'll say the blessings and drink each cup. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. I guarantee it. Sound like somebody? You're going to love it. It's going to be the best Passover ever. So we have some items on the Seder plate, okay? We have some horseradish, the star of the show. We have some charoset, which reminds us of the mortar that the Jewish people used to build the bricks. We have an egg, which reminds us of the sacrifice. We have some salt water, roasted lamb, shank bone, and parsley, green herbs. That will be on your Seder plate. There's some elements here. I guess you can come and peek and take a picture at the end of service, but we'll have some sampling in the lobby at the end of the service so you guys can partake of some of these things. So back to our Haggadah. Next, we will actually dip parsley into salt water. So any fruit of the earth, top of page 8, that is not bitter may be eaten. Traditionally, parsley is used. Green harpus reminds us of the hyssop used to apply the blood to the doorpost of the lentil as God commanded. Are you guys noticing a little theme or this thread in Judaism is everything has a meaning. Everything points to something. Judaism is incredibly immersive. On Shabbat, we light the candles. Why? Because the light is a dividing mark between that which is normal and that which is holy. Once the candles are lit, we've moved into the Shabbos, the Shabbat. We light the candles. Wine is a symbol of joy. We drink the grape juice to remember the joy that God has given to us. Everything has a meaning. The salt water is to remind us of the tears that the Israelites shed when they were in bondage. Who remembers you scraping your knee as a toddler and the tear would run down your cheek and go over your lip into your mouth? And what did you taste? Salt. God is perfect, right? In giving us exact foods to remember him. And when we remember, when we look back, it leads us to worship. Do this what? In remembrance of me. Aren't you glad that God says remember? Because I know I soon forget. So we normally would dip this into the salt water, say a blessing. The blessing is Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Borei Pri Hadama. Let's read in the English, the middle of page 8. You guys with me?
Yes.
I want you to be as involved as possible. So blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. I'm sorry, fruit of the earth. Fruit of the vine is the grape juice. So in that prayer, we have the word king. It's one of my favorite Hebrew words. It's melech. You know that we have a king who's creating a kingdom, and we're going to be a part of it. Amen? So Melech, he is the king of the universe. The God of Israel is our king. Amen? So next we come to one of the most significant parts of the Seder. That was not planned. Mic drop. So this is called a matzah tash, okay? It's one unit Okay? I'm shaking it. Nothing's coming out. But it's divided into three sections. It's one unit divided into three sections. We have one. Okay? We have two. We have three. We have three in
one.
Remind you of something?
Yes.
So listen, folks. You can't make this stuff up, guys. Come on now. Jewish people in Lakewood, Toms River, and Jackson, and all over the world had a matzah tash on their table. And they did exactly what I'm going to do. They will take the middle piece of matzah. Father,
Son,
Holy Spirit. They will take the middle piece. Come on now. And they will break this matzah. They will take one half and put it back in the matzah tash. This matzah, can you tell me, can you see the light shining through here?
Yes. Yes.
This matzah is as if it was pierced. Can you see the markings on it?
Yes.
It's as if it was beaten and bruised. Yes? This matzah has no leaven. Leaven is a symbol of?
Sin.
There is no sin in this matzah. Remind you of someone?
Yes.
Your best friend.
Yes.
Jesus the Messiah.
Yes.
Jewish people, take this middle piece of matzah, break it, and they wrap it. Not making this up. They wrap this. They put it in a bag. And then they go hide it or bury it. We know who that points to. Pray that our Jewish people join us in that vision. Amen. And we're going to see what happens to that Afikoman in a little bit. Amazing, right?
Yes.
Can't make this up. Can't write a better script, but God does.
Amen.
Come on. All right. So then we hold up this piece, this plate of matzah. If we had a table together, we would hold it up. Together on page 9, at the bottom, I'm lifting up this matzah for all of us, and we are going to say this prayer out loud in unison again, okay? So together, this is the bread of affliction which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Let all who are hungry come and eat. Let all who are in need come and celebrate Passover. Today we are here, next year in the land of Israel. Today we are slaves. Next year we will be free. Amen? Amen. So let's continue to turn to the next page where we have the four questions. It's tradition for the youngest child at the Seder table to come and read the four questions because this is a special, special night. It's a night different from all other nights. And the Hebrew is Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Michol Halelot. Why is this night different from all other nights? Okay? On this night, we eat either leavened bread or matzah. Why on this night do we only eat matzah? No cheesesteaks during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. Why on this night must we? It's a commandment. It's a mitzvot. It's a commandment. Must we eat bitter herbs? On all other nights, we do not even dip our herbs even once. Why on this night do we dip twice into salt water and into sweet fruit? And fourth, on all other nights, everyone sits up or reclines while eating. Why on this night do we all recline? In the Gospel of John, they're celebrating the Passover, and the beloved apostle, disciple John is doing what? He's leaning on Yeshua's breast, reclining, relaxing. You know, there's a idea of shalom when you come to know Jesus. You can relax in the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to read why the four questions we have an answer, right? You know how you can tell someone's Jewish? Because they say, are you Jewish? Why do you ask? You answer a question with a question. Why are you Jewish? Are you Jewish? Who's asking? Okay. Page 11, we're going to read together. Why is this night different from all other nights? Together, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord freed us from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Had not the Holy One, blessed is he, liberated our ancestors from Egypt, then we, our children, and our children's children would still be enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. You know, Jesus is Jewish, yes? Would you agree?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that the enemy didn't wipe out the nation of Israel?
Amen.
And the Messiah was born just as God promised. Amen?
Amen?
And you have the privilege as a Gentile follower of Jesus to bring the message back to where it came.
Amen.
You get to bring it back. It's for them. And they've rejected it. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Let me tell you a little story. So I have a friend, his name is Mordecai. Leading a team in Brooklyn, New York, we have our table, we have Bibles, we have literature. We're talking to people. If you've been to New York, you have hundreds of people often on the subway, and we're handing out literature. Find out about Isaiah 53. Find out about the greatest Jew who ever lived, Jesus. Boom, boom, handing Bibles out. Take one. We're going at it. And a guy beelines right up to me. He's like, what are you? Very hostile. What are you doing? I'm like, we're sharing about Isaiah 53. We have a campaign about Isaiah 53. What's Isaiah 53 about? Well, here's a track. Read for yourself. So he starts reading. He said, it sounds like someone that might have been crucified. I'm like, it's because it's true. He says, no, it's not. I'm going to go talk to my rabbi. He's so frustrated with me. We're bantering back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We talk. I say, you said it yourself. It's about Jesus. He said, I'll have to talk to my rabbi before I say anything. I said, thank you for talking to me. I'd love to give you a Bible. Now, I didn't give him this little soft Bible. I gave him a Bible that was hard bound. I gave it to him. I said, I want you to do what I did 25 years ago. I want you to ask God to reveal the truth about Jesus as the Messiah. You ask if Jesus is truly the prophet and promised Messiah of Israel, ask God to show you and then read the New Testament. He says, maybe after I talk to my rabbi. And I'm thinking, oy vey, how's that going to go? He says, I got to go now. So he turns to walk away. I turn to say, hey, how did that go? And I hear my name, Scott. I turn around. As soon as I turn around, I'm hit square in the forehead with the Bible that I had just given to him. He wound up as hard as he could and threw that Bible at me and hit me. And I was dazed and startled. I'm like, oh, my gosh. My friend's like, no, it's just the fumes from the MTA buses. I'm like, no, it's the Bible. He takes off running, goes around the corner. I'm like, wow, that was crazy. I didn't think that was happening when I woke up this morning. A year later, we're back with a different group, this time from Indiana, with a table. And lo and behold, here comes Mordecai. He says, I can't believe it. I've been looking for you. I can't believe you're here. I'm like, that must be God. He says, I'm not sure. He says, but I talked to my rabbi, and he has convinced me that Isaiah 53 is Israel and not Jesus. I said, well, what do you think? He says, I just told you that he's convinced me. He said, but I haven't been able to shake it ever since. I said, you keep seeking the Lord. He left. I hadn't seen him for 5 more years. We're coming on 7 years. God planted the seed. 7 years later, I'm in Denver at a conference. I get a phone call from a Mennonite missionary with Destinies International from Lancaster. His name is Brent. I never hear from Brent, hardly ever. I pick up the phone. I said, hey, Brent, it's Scott. He says, your name just came up. I'm like, oy vey, what now? He says, I just met a guy who threw a Bible at you. I said, Mordecai. He says, yeah, Mordecai. He's in our coffee shop. They have a coffee shop that ministers to Orthodox Jews right in Brooklyn, New York, on Avenue U. If you're ever there, it's great. Shepherd's Cup. Great coffee. Free advertisement. He says, We were talking with him. I found out he was Jewish. I brought up Isaiah 53. He says, "Do you know Scott Schwartz?" He says, "Oy vey, yes, I know Scott Schwartz." He said, "He shared Isaiah 53 with me 5 years ago, and I was so angry, I threw a Bible at him, and it hit him square in the head." He said to me, the next thing he said to me almost made me burst into tears. He says, "Scott, I want you to know that God is working in this young man's life." He was quoting scripture. He was quoting the words of Jesus. That seed is starting to bud. He doesn't believe yet, but God is doing something because you were faithful to put the seed in the ground and let God go to work. Amen. A year later, I get a call from another sister ministry who has a Shabbat dinner. And they bring Jewish people and they have a Shabbat dinner and they go through the Bible and they talk about the Parsha, which is the Hebrew reading, the study through the Torah every week. And our friend Mordecai shows up. My friend calls me and says, "Guess what? We were at Shabbat dinner and your name came up." I said, "Oy vey, now what?" He said, "We met a guy named Mordecai." And I said, "The Bible." And my friend said, "Thrower." I said, "Yes." He said he told us the story of how 7 years ago, yada, 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 yada. He said he's so close to getting saved. Keep praying. So I planted, someone else watered, someone else watered. I get a phone call from my friend a week later. He was very shy to talk about other people. The flu had gone through Brooklyn. My friend said that week everyone got sick but Mordecai. It was Mordecai and four of our staff. We talked for 3 hours. And we said, "Would you have the faith to believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah?" He said, "I want to bow my head and pray and ask him to be my Lord and Messiah." Amen. Mordecai came to faith, but it took seven years. If you have family, loved ones, that annoying non-believer at work, plant the seed and pray and let the hound of heaven go get it. Amen? Amen? So pray for this brother. He still lives in the Orthodox community. A lot of persecution. I've changed his name. That's not his real name. But he really is hounded by his community. He's almost a secret believer. So pray for him to have boldness and for God to really set him free. Amen. But he knows the Lord. He texted me. He says, "Scott, I love John 14:27. This is how I knew he was truly saved. He said, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I pray it morning, noon, and night. Amen. So this brother knows the Lord. From Bible thrower to brother in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's continue here in our Haggadah as we move through. Turn with me to the left. And next we're going to go to the story summarized. Why do we tell the story of Pesach? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in Exodus chapter 13, we read these words. Exodus 13, verse 8. "You are to tell your sons on that day, saying, 'It is because of what Adonai did for me when I came out of Egypt. For with a strong hand, Adonai has brought you out of Egypt.'" The Lord brought the Jewish people out of Egypt. It's the Lord that has set us free from sin and death and made us his own. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to read part of this story on page 16. I'll read through it to follow God's commandment, to tell each other the story of the Exodus. So page 16, "When famine was severe in Canaan, God told Jacob, whom he had renamed Israel, to go down to sojourn in Egypt where he would make him a great nation. Jacob moved from Beersheba with his family," notice, 70 people, okay? Only 70 folks. God took a little and did great things. Pastor Joe, when we were talking, he says, yeah, God started with 12. He can do what he wants. He multiplied the bread and the fish, right? "Jacob moved to Beersheba with his family and settled in Goshen." The story picks up in Exodus 1:6. "Then Joseph, and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were fruitful, increased rapidly, multiplied, and became extremely numerous so that the land was filled with them. A new king who had not known Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to the people, 'Look, the Israelites people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Let us deal," what's that word? My wife hates when I do this, but I used to leave my wet towel not hanging up. And she'd say, Mr. Schwartz, if you don't hang that towel up again, you forget again, I'm going to deal shrewdly with you. I got the picture. And she's from Vermont, so don't mess. Country girl. So otherwise, they will multiply further, and if war breaks out, they may join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So the Egyptians assigned taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labors. They built supply cities for Pharaoh, but the more they oppressed them, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites, like the Energizer Bunny. Kept going and going and going. They worked them ruthlessly, and they ruthlessly imposed all this work on them. Even worse, this will make you hate Pharaoh if you haven't already. Pharaoh commanded that all male babies born to Hebrew women be killed. I love this when a good woman steps in. But the midwives feared God and disobeyed Pharaoh. Like, yes. As they would say, go, girl. The Lord multiplied the Hebrew people even more. Be fruitful and multiply. God is in the business of multiplying, of blessing, of pouring out. And he's doing that to his chosen people. He's creating a nation that would one day bring forth the Messiah for the entire world. Amen? So the story continues in Exodus 2. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor, and they cried out. And their cry for help, listen, ascended to God. Because of their difficult labor. So God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the Israelites and he took notice. Aren't you glad that God is a God that hears and God is a God that sees and doesn't leave you in the deep end to flounder, but he moves in on your behalf and comes to your rescue? And we see it right here. How do you know it's true? How do you know God will do that? Because it's on the pages of Scripture. Here, God raised up a deliverer. God got working. God raised up a deliverer in the person of Moses, who was preserved as a baby when Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the Nile River. After 40 years in the palace, with all the privileges of a prince of Egypt, Moses one day killed the Egyptian who was abusing a Hebrew slave. He then fled to Midian to avoid Pharaoh's death sentence. Smart guy. He wasn't dumb as a box of rocks. He knew what to do. He's like, I just killed someone. I'm hightailing it out of here. And Moses is just minding his own business as a shepherd. And God's like, Moses, oh no, I know that voice. At age 80, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. God appeared in a burning bush and sent Moses back to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Can you imagine the conversation? Hashem, God, I told you I don't want to go back there. I've already been there and it's horrible. I killed somebody. Go back. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But rather than releasing the slaves, Pharaoh hardened his heart and made the Hebrews gather straw in addition to making bricks. Can you imagine what the Israelites are like? Moses, it was better when you were in Midian. You came, nosied your way in here, and now it's worse. Now we got to gather. Before they would just drop it. Now we got to gather it and haul it. Go back. Oh, well, I have to be here and lead you. And then, I love this, the bottom of page 17. And then, at the appointed time, at the end of 400 years, of which God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15, we see God moving. Sometimes we have to wait, and unfortunately wait a little bit longer, but God will come through. Page 18, God hears the cries of his people and sees their difficulties. That's for you and for me. God remembers his promises to you and to me. God acts powerfully for you and for me. God acts personally, and God acts uniquely. Amen? Next, we come to the 10 plagues. God poured out 10 plagues to judge the gods of Egypt. They were polytheists, right? They had the sun god. They worshiped cattle. And God was judging all of their gods. So these are the 10 plagues that the Holy One, blessed is he, brought upon Egypt. We're going to go to 10 plagues on page 20, and we're going to say all 10 together out loud with me. Blood, frogs, lice, flies, cattle disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness.
Death of the firstborn.
Wow. Death of the firstborn. Next, we have a celebratory song which goes through the history of Israel. For the sake of time, we're going to have to skip it. It's called Dai Dai Enu. Dai Dai Enu, Dai Dai Enu, Dai Dai Enu, Dai Enu, Dai Enu, Dai Enu, Dai. It would have been enough. It would have been enough. Had God brought us out of Israel and not given us the temple, it would have been enough. If God brought us into Israel and not given us the Shabbat, it would have been enough. Turn with me to page 23. At the bottom of 23, in the middle of the page, had he given us the Torah and not brought us into Israel, it would have been enough. You say, Dayenu. Had he brought us into Israel and not built the temple for us, it would have been enough. Dayenu. As believers in the Messiah of Israel, as God's provision for our redemption, we add another line to this favorite Passover song altogether. If all he had given us was Yeshua, we would have more than enough. Dayenu. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to page 24, the central theme of the Passover was the Passover lamb. It had to be without spot or blemish. Top of page 25. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish." It's no coincidence. We've already had some education here. It's no coincidence. There's going to be a lot of oohs and ahs. Listen, that Jesus presented himself in Jerusalem how many days?
4 days.
At his trial, he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. 3, he was pronounced guiltless by Pilate. 4 days, he was inspected, and Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Why? Because there was no sin in that man, Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God. And like the Passover lamb, and unlike the other criminals on either side, not one of his bones was broken. Just as the blood of the lamb had to be applied to save the lives of each firstborn son at the time of the first Passover, so by faith, we must individually apply the blood of the Lamb of God to remove the sentence of death from us. And if you're here tonight, you were brought with a friend, come hear this crazy, kooky Jewish guy talk about the Seder, and you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is by faith take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of your heart. And when judgment time comes, the angel of death will pass over, and not only will you have life, listen, come on now, you will have everlasting life. It'll never end. We will have joy and shalom like we've never experienced, and it's really going to happen. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We're coming in for a landing. Next, we come to the bitter herbs. Why do we eat the bitter herbs? Here I have some horseradish. Because the Egyptians embittered the lives of our ancestors in Egypt, they made their lives bitter with difficult labor in brick and in mortar and in all kinds of field work. Life is full of tears and bitterness in this sin-cursed world. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeshua, I love this. How could you not love Jesus? He sympathizes with our weakness, and he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, and he knew what sickness was. He was despised and we did not value him. Keep turning to the left. We come to the second cup. I will deliver you from the forced labors of the Egyptians. Are the Israelites still under the forced labors of the Egyptians?
No.
Did God promise that he would take them out?
Yes.
Did he do it?
Yes.
He's worthy. Amen?
Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam parei pari hagafen. Let's read together page 31, middle. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. I will deliver you from the forced labors of the Egyptians. At this point, we would drink our second cup and worship the Lord for his deliverance. Next, we come to the matzah, this unleavened bread that we are commanded to eat. I'm going to say a traditional blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua himself said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I need some volunteers. I need someone under the age of 18. I have a couple people here that are young. All right, you two, come on up here. They have no idea what's going to hit them. I have clean hands. Is this on? Yep. So tell New Beginnings Church who we are, your name?
Cooper.
Is this on?
Cooper.
Okay, and?
Braden? Yes.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Come closer here. So we have bitter herbs, okay? So what I would like you to do is I would like you to take a spoonful of that bitter herbs and put it on your horseradish. So each of you take a little bit of that horseradish. All right, you go ahead. Oh, no, son. You're going to cry, boy. Yep. So now we have to pray. Pray like you've never prayed before. Now's the time for the gift of tongues. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam parei pari. I'm sorry, I'm getting nervous for them. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahad likner shel maror. Blessed are you, Lord our God. You should bless him. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has set us apart with his commandments and commanded us to eat the bitter herbs. God has commanded you to do this, guys. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead. Is it hot? It's hot, huh? Okay. You want to spit it out? Okay. I should have signed a waiver. All right, let's give him a hand. You can take that water with you. You good? Thank you, guys. All right. Dad, take him to Rita's. Every night for the rest of the year. You guys okay? All right, thank you. Let's give him another hand. So next we come to the other element, which is an egg. Normally we then have more horseradish. I usually tell if you're at the table with me, we're going to go back into the horseradish. Always, they're like, oy vey, after that. Yes, but with some sweet fruit, right? Some sweet and some hot. The charoset reminds us of the mortar that the Jewish people used to build the bricks. Tradition says, many scholars argue, what is the egg all about? The egg traditionally on the Seder plate, among interpretations, is that the hard-boiled or roasted egg reminds us of the destruction of the temple, and the father will take the egg and mourn the destruction of the temple. that was burned with fire. There is no longer sacrifices available to the Jewish people, but one has come to provide that one and only sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now we would normally have our meal. So we're going to come back from our meal. And during the meal, the children search for the afikoman. They search, they search, they search. Abba, I found it. Abba, I found it. He brings it back to Dad. He opens it up. Traditionally, it's then broken into pieces. Yep. And it's given to each member of the family. Okay? And I want to read from Luke chapter 22. We're almost doing okay?
Yeah.
Luke chapter 22. I got the Tree of Life version, wonderful version. It's messianic. Luke chapter 22. I want us to listen to these words. Verse 7, then came the day of matzah when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Now Yeshua sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat. Then he said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to him, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And with that, he showed them a large upper room, fully furnished. Make preparations there. Notice this, guys. So they left and found it just as Yeshua had told them. You know, we're going to find everything that Yeshua has promised, just as he promised it. Amen? So it says this in verse 14, and when the hour had come, Yeshua reclined at the table and his disciples with him, and he said this, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And on this Holy Week, the Lord eagerly desires to fellowship with each and every one of us, to renew our love for him and for him to renew his love for me and for you. And on page 35, the afikoman was taken from the middle piece of matzah, as we talked about. It was striped, it was pierced, it was bruised. Isaiah 53, he was pierced because of our transgressions and crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment for our peace. The punishment came upon Yeshua that me and you could have God's shalom. He's so worthy. Yes. Amen? Amen. Zechariah 12:10, I can't wait for this day. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer and supplication on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, and they will look at me whom they pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his one only child and weep bitterly for him who weeps for his firstborn. As I mentioned, he was wrapped in cloth and hidden away, and it's resulted in a gift. When the family member brings the afikoman to the father will give him a monetary reward, $5. Now it's up to 20. Oy vey. Yeshua is the bread of life. He's the Lamb of God, and he's the Passover lamb. And remember, personal faith has to be required. Abraham believed in what God promised, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So everyone has their communion cup with them, right? I want us to try to in our mind's eye, we're going to be done in just a few minutes. In our mind's eye, I want us to go with me to that upper room with Yeshua and his disciples. And every Passover Seder at this point, the afikoman is brought and it's breaking up and it's blessed and it's given and it's that which comes after. It's a dessert. But Jesus throws everything on its heels and says, this is my body. broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He interjects that he is the long-awaited Messiah. So let's look at this, your bread, and let's remember the spotless, sinless Lamb of God given for our salvation. Let's eat. This might be my favorite part of the Seder. Remember the four I wills, right?
Yes.
Exodus 6. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. Third is I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And at this point, they come to the third cup, and they remember that God was the God who brought redemption, who set them free from bondage. And it's at this point that Jesus breaks the silence and lifts up the cup and says, "This is the cup of the blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Jesus then takes the cup of redemption and reveals himself as the Lamb whose blood would be poured out for the salvation of the world. So we all have our grape juice with us, right? Our cups. So I'm going to say the Hebrew blessing, then we'll repeat it in English. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Purei Pari Hagafen. Together in English, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. Before we drink the third I will redeem you. Yeshua fulfilled that very thing, didn't he? Let's drink and celebrate. Isn't that amazing? He has the flair for the dramatic. It wasn't the first cup that he revealed himself. It wasn't the second cup that he revealed himself. And every year previous to this, none of this had been revealed. But he decides before he goes to the cross, I am the cup of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
Next, we have the prophet Elijah. We have the cup of Elijah. We're waiting for Elijah the prophet to come. And it says that he will come and prepare the way of the Lord. But Elijah has already come. You guys are Bible students. John the Baptist came, what? In the spirit and power of Elijah. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, we come to the fourth cup, and I wish we all could drink together, but we can't. But the fourth cup is the cup of praise. Why? Because not only have we been taken out from bondage, not only have we had our burdens removed from us and released, he's redeemed us, but then he takes us to be his own.
Amen.
Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Purei Pari Hagafen. All together, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine. I will take you as my people. Jesus says, I will not drink of this cup with you until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. You are going to look into the face of Yeshua and drink the fourth cup. Amen?
Amen.
This is an easy, easy church to preach to. Let's turn to page 49. I went 8 minutes over. Can I have grace, please?
Yes.
All right. Page 49. Guess what? We've come to the end of our Seder. The Passover Seder is concluded according to each traditional detail with all its laws and customs. As if we have been privileged to celebrate this Seder, so may we one day celebrate it in Jerusalem. Pure One who dwells in high places, support your people countless in number. May you soon, come on, may you soon redeem all your people joyfully in Zion. At the point that this Haggadah was written, they were still not in Jerusalem. It was prior to 1948. So the prayer was next year in Jerusalem. But they're in Jerusalem. They have that sovereign piece of land where they can worship the God of Israel freely until Hamas inserts itself. So we're going to say, we're going to count down 3, 2, 1, and we're going to say next year in Jerusalem, but we're praying next year in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Come on. All right? But we're going to say next year in Jerusalem. Shout it out. 3, 2, 1. Next year in Jerusalem. And that completes our Passover Seder. Thank you.
Wow, wasn't that awesome? I'm filled with such great expectancy, amen? Amen. Well, thank you so much to Scott and his lovely wife, Corey. Thank you for being here. This was an amazing experience, and we pray you'll come again. And yes, you know, we would love to extend an opportunity for each one of us to plant into their amazing ministry. How many were blessed by this tonight? We've learned so much, amen? And so, you know, yes, we do have this amazing community right in our backyard where we can go and spread the love of Jesus, and we can also partner with this amazing ministry. So if you feel led, we do want to provide you an opportunity to sow into Scott Schwartz's ministry. You can fill out an offering envelope in the seat pocket in front of you, or you can go online to our giving tab at newbeginningsnj.org/give, and there is a tab for guest speaker, and we will be able to present him that gift as well. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this amazing night of impartation and revelation of more of who you are, God, and your love towards us, Lord God. You're a God of intention, Lord God. And Lord, we honor you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Scott and his beautiful wife, and we thank you for the work you're doing in them and through them. Bless them, Lord. Bless their families. Bless their ministry, Lord God. And bless every person represented here, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you can receive that offering. Just a reminder, this was an amazing book, amen? And as Scott mentioned, if you would like to purchase this book, it does cost $5. You can go to the product table upon exiting. I believe there's more products as well, but you can give your $5 there. If you do not want to purchase the book, you can leave the booklet on your seat, or you can place it back on the table upon exiting the sanctuary. Also, just a reminder, our Easter services are this weekend, so if you have not registered, please make sure you register. Also, make sure you invite someone, and also, there are some tastings if you are interested, or if you want to come up at the end of service to observe the table and the elements, or you can go into the lobby to try some of them. There are a few of the elements prepared for you to try as well. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you all. Thank you so much for every single person coming out tonight. And YA, make sure you come out this Friday. Amen? Amen. God bless you.